April 21st, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kaf Chet Amud Aleph. How many lines down? What did we say? 21 lines? 23 lines down. And we're right in the middle of the line. And the Gemara will continue to describe and to delineate who are the kerubim, the relatives who are invalidated, pesulim le'edut, and who perhaps is permitted. Amar Rav, Rav's statement. Ahi Abba, the brother of my father, meaning my uncle, lo ya'idli, cannot testify about me. That's an easy understanding. In other words, father to son, we consider first generation. Uncle to nephew, we consider second generation. We say that's first generation to second generation. Okay, so far we understand this. Who, he can't testify about me, ubino, nor can his son, my cousin, v'hatano, and not even his son-in-law, the husband of his daughter. Af ani, so to I, lo a'id lo, I won't testify about my uncle. Ani, neither me, ubini, nor my son, vahatani, or even my son-in-law. Says the Gemara, ve'amai, why is this invalid? Havale shelishi barishon. Says the Gemara, in this circumstance, we're dealing with a third generation testifying about a first generation. What's the third to first? My son, meaning my son to my uncle, a great nephew to his great uncle, is considered a first generation to a third generation. First generation is the uncle. The uncle is brothers with my father. That's what created this whole relation. That's the first generation individual. I, in turn, am second generation, born to my father, so my uncle is, I'm second to first generation. My son, in turn, is third generation. Great nephew to great uncle is first to third. Says the Gemara, who said a third generation is problematic in terms of relative for Edut? Says the Gemara, ve'amai, why is this problematic? Havale, this circumstance is, shilishi, my son, the great nephew, barishon, to the great uncle. Why is the great uncle considered first? Because that's how the whole relation began, him being a brother. Ve'anan, and we, meaning in our Mishnah, we learned the following. Sheni, basheni tenan. Sheni barishon tenan, shelishi barishon lo tenan. Our Mishnah delineated several cases. It described to us many circumstances where there's a pesul, a problem for testifying. It never talked about a third generation to a first generation. We talked about second generations. We talked about nephews and uncles. We talked about cousins to one another, second generation to second generation. We never talked about a third generation being invalidated. As a result, Rav, it's quite the humrah. Well, we have to give you credit for being very scrupulous and careful in terms of Eidut. When it comes down to it, it's a humrah which is not la libadi hilchita. It doesn't seem like this conforms with the words of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rav would respond with the following. Now, I'll very briefly take a look at the Mishnah one more time together with you. Let's take a look at the Mishnah. I'm turning you back to...
Go ahead.
I gotcha.
But I don't understand the son-in-law. That's the case.
The whole issue is going to be the son-in-law. But I'm telling you right now, too simple, Sammy. So then third, fourth, all the way should be.
But it's a bloodline.
But guess what? The Mishnah will tell us later on this Masechet that the whole creation began from one person. You know what that means? That we're all related. Yeah, all right. So we don't go that far. Okay, back to the Mishnah very briefly. The Mishnah said, Ve'elu hen hakerubim. Right, these are the following are relatives. Ahiv, your brother. Ahi Aviv, your uncle. Ahi Imo, your uncle from your mother. Uba'al Ahoto, your brother-in-law, your wife's husband. Uba'al Ahot Aviv, Uba'al Ahot Imo, Uba'al Imo, V'hamiv, V'giso. Now, hen, they, Ubnehen, and their sons, V'hatanehem. Now that last word, V'hatanehem, son-in-laws, seems to be skipping over the word right before it, ubnehin. In other words, again, let's just go from uncle, right? Your uncle is pasul to be me'id against you. He and his son, meaning your cousin. And whose son-in-law? Your uncle's son-in-law. Isn't that what it sounds like? Again, I'm going to read you the words as if those first nine are not listed, but one is listed. Your uncle is pasul to testify. Good. He and Benehen, his son. Okay. What's his son to you?
Cousin.
Your cousin. Vahatanehem, and their Son-in-laws. Whose son-in-laws? We assume the son-in-law of the uncle. Son-in-law of the uncle would still be a second generation cousin's husband. Cousin's husband. You know, the wife doesn't have more than one. That's right. So it's cousin's husband. Now, that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. That means second generation to second generation at most. Why second generation? Because son-in-law of my uncle, meaning my cousin's husband, is second generation. To me, I'm second generation. Our fathers are first generation. Alternatively, says Rav, I have a clever new way of reading this Mishnah. You listening? Your uncle and your uncle's son and your uncle's son's son-in-law. One more time. Your cousin's son-in-law would be invalidated to testify about anyone on the other side, including me.
This is B'nehem
V'Hatanehem. Exactly. Hatanehem, the son-in-laws. You decided that. That's Rav's initial suggestion. Says Rav, that's third generation. Hatanehem means third generation because, again, it's my cousin who's already second generation, and it's my cousin's son-in-law who is being invalidated. Well, if my cousin's son-in-law is invalidated, says Rav, that's why I just told you that my sons can't testify about my uncle. My sons are the equivalent of my son-in-laws. Third generation to first generation, to second or whatever it is, can't testify, says the Gemara.
He mentioned Hatanehem, then she mentioned the grandson even.
Says Charlie, says it would have been a much more simple way to list this. If you're talking about third generation, it should have said hen, ubnehen, ubnehen. Their sons, meaning your cousin, and your cousin's child. Why are you going to your cousin's son-in-law? That's an interesting question.
There's an attachment to the wife.
There's a prejudice. Move on. I don't know exactly what you're saying. I don't want to understand that too quickly, but I do want to tell you, it's more simple to talk about your cousin's child than your cousin's son-in-law.
Yeah.
Chalas? But first things first, says Rav in defending himself, my hatano, quote-unquote, dekatane, which is listed b'matnitin. Again, hatan is son-in-law. What did it mean in the Mishnah when it talked about your son-in-law, the son-in-law? We assume the son-in-law of your uncle, parallel to your cousin's generation. No! Hatan Beno, it's a reference to the son-in-law of your uncle's son, meaning your cousin's son-in-law, third generation. Says the Gemara, Charlie's question. If that's so, more simple way to do this.
Your granddaughter's husband. That's your son's son-in-law.
All right.
Would be your granddaughter's husband.
Good.
My
mind works. Unfortunately, I'm so nervous I'm going to mess this up. Anything you say like that gets me off track. Yeah, what? But the third generation. That's it. Chalas. Says the Gemara Velitne, if this was so, it should have said, quite simply, Ben Beno. It should have said, your cousin's child, your uncle's grandchild, maybe that's what you meant, is invalid. You didn't need to go to son-in-law. It's a lot more simple to talk about literally a bloodline as opposed to a married-in, you know, fake bloodline.
So how would you get the son-in-law?
What's that?
If you did it that way, how would you get the son-in-law?
We'd say by extension. You say, Jeffrey's response is, Jeffrey's response, everyone's response is, Hatan wouldn't be listed in the Mishnah otherwise. Once I tell you Hatan, as Jesse said, I say, certainly, answers the Gemara, Milta, this is a thing, a matter, a source of knowledge, Agav Urhe Kamashma'lan. It's teaching me something by the way. In other words, of course, it could have said your cousin's child, meaning to his great uncle or to cousin or whatever it is, but we made it more complex, which in turn, of course, reveals him by telling you the Baal ki ishto, that a husband who marries in becomes a part of the bloodline according to halacha. So indeed, Charlie's question, notwithstanding, says the Gemara, we're teaching you more complex things. By extension, of course, you understand that every third generation. Tell me the more simple one. If I tell you the more complex one, you understand the simple one. The same way the son-in-law of my uncle is going to be, my son-in-law of my cousin will be invalidated to the other side, a third generation. So too, of course, the grandchild of my uncle, meaning the great-nephew, will be invalidated as well. All right. So
it's invalidated to the first, or is the third invalidated to the third?
It's what was the statement of Rav? First things first, Rav talked about first to third. He didn't talk about second to third. Second to third, meaning, again, cousin two, great nephew, just putting it like that, will be valid for Rav, and that will be significant in the ensuing lines of the Gemara. All Rav talked about was great nephew to uncle, right? That's all he invalidated.
So right now you're covering two to two.
First three, two to one, we're all in our Mishnah.
3-1.
3-1 is the Hiddush of Rav, and he found it in our Mishnah.
Yeah, so right now, there's no 3-2 right now.
3-2 will stay out of it for Rav all the way through the end.
Okay.
Ultimately speaking, we'll knock at him for that, and we'll say, whose opinion are you following to distinguish between 3-2 and 3-1? But that's clearly Rav's opinion. How do we know it's clearly Rav's opinion? Rav stood up. He could have said the more novel case, back to the Jeffrey type of logic. He could have said third to second, and second to third is problematic. Instead, he didn't say it that way. He said third to first. Look at Rav's initial words from today. Amar Rav, Ahi Abba lo ya'id li. He could have said, Ahi Abba lo ya'id li hu ubno v'hatano. It means, my cousin can testify about me, right? My cousin is to me, one more time.
My cousin.
No, it's my uncle to me would be, I'd be considered to my uncle, second to one. His child and my child is gonna make 3-1. We're gonna be 3-1.
His child and my child is 3-2.
No, but it's not his child to my child. It's his child to me or my child to him. Or my child to him, he says as well.
Yes,
that's 3-1. Okay. Says the Gemara Ve'ela Haditane. Wait a second. What about the statement of Rabbi Chiya about our Mishnah? Rabbi Chiya summarized our Mishnah. Rabbi Chiya said the following about our Mishnah. He says, if you were to look at our Mishnah and give it a heading, give it a synopsis, what is it? Shimona Avot. There are 8 primary relatives that are listed in the Mishnah. So it happens to be, if you count the Mishnah in the Mishnah, you'll count 9. The Gemara will ask about that. But let's accept there are 8 relatives listed in our Mishnah, yes? Shehen 24. Rabbi Chiya, in summarizing the Mishnah, says, really, you're dealing with 8 primary relatives. Who are the 8 primary relatives? Ahiv, Ahi Aviv, Ahi Imo, and so forth, all of those. He says it's 8, which really translates into 24. Why does he say 24? Not third generation. It's second generation. It's children and son-in-laws. He's going only second generation, right? That's clear. What's that?
Not always son-in-law, I'm saying.
We're not saying in every circumstance. We're saying at most, the amount of relatives that our Mishnah lets onto is 24. That's it, because each person really represents 2 others. It represents their children and their son-in-laws. That's a total of 3. And in turn, it's 8, which is, if you break it into the family tree, is 24. Wait a second, Rav, you're telling me we extended it another generation. If we extended it another generation, it shouldn't be 24, it should rather be 32. Why'd we extend it another? You told me we go even third generation. Says
but
the Gemara.
Third generation, 8 times 3 is 24.
What's that? 8 times 3, no, wrong. First generation counts. Then we have derivative off of first generation, second generation, son and son-in-law. 1 plus 1 plus 1. That's 3 total. Each individual represents both themselves and 2 derivatives.
But that's still 24.
That's right. That's the question on Rav. Rav, according to you, it should be 32. Hang on a second with the question. You're right. The Gemara doesn't address that. Charlie says, technically speaking, it should be even more than 32. Right, it should be even more than 32 because, and we're also doing son-in-law, we're going all the way. Okay, at the very least, 24 is not enough. That's what the Gemara will phrase it as, it should be 32. The Rishonim say the number really should be even better. Okay, but the question at the very least is, 24 is an insufficient number. The Mishnah, if in the most simple reading of our Mishnah, is 24. It should be a lot more than that. Rav, you're extending this. You're going to third generation. That should be a much larger number. Says the Gemara, Haneh, according to you, Rav, these individuals should be broken to Teltin. We switch the Taf with Hashin Shiloshim. Vetartin, 32. Haveh. It should be 32, Rav. Rav, Rabbi Chiya's summary of our Mishnah, clearly Rabbi Chiya, who's long before you, Rav, he's one of the Tanaim, his summary of the Mishnah is not conforming with you. You're not going to disagree with that, are you? I mean, your reading of the Mishnah was very clever, but maybe you'll disagree with Rabbi Chiya, really? Ela, and Rav sometimes will, by the way. Rav is one of the only Emoraim in the Gemara that the Gemara will say, Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rav sometimes has that authority to disagree with the earlier generation of Mishnah, which is a fascinating feature to be discussed separately. But over here, the Gemara doesn't go that way. It says, Rav rather must have a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Again, what are we up against? Rav is invalidating 1 to 3. The Mishnah doesn't seem to be doing that. So he stretched the Mishnah, your word, Sammy, not mine. He stretched the Mishnah and he said that when it talks about son-in-law, it's a reference to the son-in-law of your cousin. Can't be, because then we'd be dealing with 32 at the very least in terms of derivatives. Ela le'olam hatano mamash. So that's the Gemara. Okay, so Rav really reads the Mishnah in the most simple fashion. Again, your uncle and his son and his son-in-law. Chalosh, shalom al Yisrael. Well, if that's the case, then how come Rav told us that third generation great-nephew is invalidated to first generation, to uncle? That's not true. The Mishnah never told us that. V'amai kare lehatan bino. Why did Rav, in interpreting the Mishnah, refer to it as the son-in-law of the cousin? Bringing it back to Sammy's initial comment, over here, think about the circumstance. A son-in-law is not a blood relative. If a son-in-law is not a blood relative, who should we compare him to? Is he a second generation? Well, second generation, he's more distant than third generation. He's not blood. Pump him down a little bit. So again, the Mishnah lists the following. It says that a nephew is invalidated to his uncle. A nephew is invalidated to his cousin. All right, we're calling that second to second generation. The uncle is invalidated to his brother's child. That's his nephew. And his brother's son-in-law. That's his nephew-in-law. The nephew-in-law is not really a second generation. Second generation would mean there's some bloodline. Me'almakate, the son-in-law comes from outside. You're considering him a relative? How could you be considering him a relative? Clearly, you're willing to broaden your horizons in terms of understanding relationships. If you're willing to broaden your horizon in terms of understanding relationships, wouldn't you go to third generation as well? Do you follow? In other words, Rav's claim is that if a son-in-law is invalidated, well, then it stands to reason the third generation is. So, yesh makom lebaal din lahalok. You could disagree with this, but that's Rav's claim. Again, says the Gemara, ve'ela le'olam, rather, you have to read the Mishnah in the most simple sense. Hatano mamash, it really means your son-in-law. It means your uncle's son-in-law, your cousin's husband. Ve'amai kare le'hatan bino. Why does it refer to your uncle's? Why did Rav refer to it as the child of your cousin? Excuse me, the son-in-law of your cousin. Kevan de me'alma ka'ate, since the son-in-law is from the outside, meaning not blood relative, kedora hirdame, says the Gemara, if that's so, if it's indeed so, that we're considering a son-in-law as an outsider, well, now let's go back and understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the son-in-laws get attached to the earlier generation. Well, that being the case, they're even further.
Well, I know, now they're threes.
Now they're threes. It says the Gemara,
that's
Ihache.
That's the case, then. Rob's initial claim.
Generations down.
Which is four generations.
Indeed. Says the Gemara, Ihache, if this is so, Havale Shilishi Basheni. How so? Says the Gemara, if it's so that we're going to consider the son-in-law a dropped generation, in turn, help me with this, the Mishnah should be invalidating third to second. Why third to second in our Mishnah? Nobody, yeah. Please help me out. All right, let's see that.
Because Hatano a provincial to his nephew.
No, so since your Hatano is now a third.
Yes. Right, so it means your Hatan is pasul to your cousin even. The Mishnah told us, that's right, thank you. The Mishnah told us that your hatan is just as invalid to your cousin as you are to your cousin. Now your cousin is so now we're turning this into if we're turning a son-in-law, if we're bumping them down a level, it means that your son-in-law is a third generation. Your third generation testifying about your cousin, the Mishnah said, was problematic. That means that a third generation to, I know, I'm sorry, Stanley, that's what I feel like as well. Third generation to a second generation is invalidated as well. Well, if that's the case, how come Rav only told us great nephew to uncle,
Can I ask on that?
Of course. stars.
So, of course, why?
I can't answer.
I told you 3-1. If I tell you 3-1, you know 3-2.
Do you really?
Yeah.
3-2 is even further distant.
No.
3-1 means 3 is testifying. The more son-in-laws we throw into this, the more distant you are.
I would have gone Kal, 3-2 is Kal. I would have known Chomer.
That's right. That's right.
What are you doing with the nephew's son-in-law?
The nephew's son-in-law right now is the Mishnah was never referring to that. That's going to be a 4.
Right.
Drops down to
we don't go to
4. We don't go to 4th. Rav what's that? Rav only talked third to one.
But Rav's definition of 3-1 was 4. You're calling now 4-1.
Why, Mapito?
It's the nephew's son-in-law.
Yes.
Rav never said those words.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Look at Rav's words. What were Rav's initial words?
Rav's words was, so the two avot, one of the avs,
Achia bi loya is lihu ubeno v'hatano.
Good. It means that my...
The great-nephew's son-in-law.
He didn't say that. He wasn't. You're defining it the way we initially understood the words of Rav. Rav is only saying that Ahi Avi, my uncle, lo ya'id li, won't testify to me, nor to my child, nor to my son-in-law. But my son-in-law is third generation.
Uncle's son-in-law. That's what they're getting confused.
Uncle son-in-law, uncle not cousin son-in-law. Son-in-law in Rav. Look at Rav's words again.
The initial interpretation of how he read the Mishnah.
But we're not going that way any longer. We dropped that. Ela le'olam. We knocked that out with Rabbi Chiya.
But then he says, Afani lo a'id lo, ani ubeni v'hatani.
To whom?
To his uncle.
To your uncle. That's right. Your hatan is third generation. Are you saying it's technically fourth?
It's technically fourth.
I understand. All right. Don't go that far. My bad. Says the Gemara, if this is so, you're right. I don't know. I have enough just getting through this. If that's so, says the Gemara, Havale shilishi basheni v'rav achshar shilishi basheni. Rav seemed to validate third to second generation. According to your reading of the Mishnah now, third to second should be problematic. Ela Rav, says the Gemara, rather, we were trying so hard to fit Rav into our Mishnah. He doesn't fit into our Mishnah. He doesn't fit into our Mishnah, that's right. Our Mishnah won't fit with him. Read the Mishnah in the most simple sense. The Mishnah with son-in-laws, don't turn son-in-laws into a further generation and so forth. So then what's Rav hanging his hat on? Rav is disagreeing with our Mishnah. Ela Rav... The Amar Ki Rabbi Elazar, Rav would be following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Who's Rabbi Elazar? The Tanya, as the Beraita tells us, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Keshem, She'ahi Abba. The same way that my uncle from my father, Lo Ya'id Li, can't testify about me. Who? Ubeno ve'hatano. Neither my uncle nor his son, nor his son-in-law, my cousin-in-law, Kach, so too, Ben Ahi Abba, so too, my cousin, Lo Ya'id Li, can't testify about me, Hu Ubeno Vehatano, neither him, nor his son, nor his son-in-law. Wait a second. That statement still invalid. It makes sense, but it's still in. It's 3-1 is certain. 3-1 is certainly invalidated. But you furthermore have a 3. Well, let's call it a 3-2 over here. What's that? Cousin is 3-2. Your cousin has a child. That's 3-2. Says the Gemara. Akati means still. Havale shilishi basheni. You're still Rav. You had this in-between state. Third generation was invalidated, but not third generation, second generation. That's too far. Third generation to first generation. But Rav, according to Rabbi Lazar, third to second is also invalidated. V'Rav Achshar Shilishi Basheni, says the Gemara. You're right. Okay, Rav made up his in-between opinion. Rav made up his... That's right, says the Gemara. Rav Savar Lekavate Behada, Upalig Ale Behada. Rav agreed with Rabbi Lazar on one Humrah, third to first generation. Upalig, and he disagrees with Rabbi Lazar Behada on third to second generation.
And he's allowed to do that.
What's the problem?
He's allowed to keep in mind, according to our understanding now, our Mishnah doesn't touch on third generation. According to our simple interpretation of the Mishnah now, the Mishnah goes as far as second generation. Rabbi Elazar goes the whole way to third generation. Rav technically could end with our Mishnah. Mm-hmm. He could say it's only second generation. Rav was willing to go a little bit further. He found an in-between between Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah. The Gemara will ask for a dirasha for Rav. you're right, it's not a common thing. The best parallel I have to this is the one that, you know, we never fully understand. You've ever looked at a mezuzah? Many people put it slanted. The Halabiyah put it slanted. Ramar Rabbi Moshe Isserle says to put it slanted. Halabiyah. Shulchan Aruch says to put it straight. The Harari's put it straight as well. Halabiyah put it slanted. You didn't know that?
You grew up slanted.
Grew up slanted. I always thought the fact that so many people do it Ashkenaz. Apparently Halabiyah did it. My father told me this a few years ago because someone told me in the Knesset, it's slanted. I said, it's slanted. We put it all straight up. My father said, we put it straight up. Shulchan Aruch says straight up. Ramar Rabbi Moshe Isserle says slanted. Why slanted? Excuse me. So it says slanted. Why slanted? Because two opinions in Rishonim. The Gemara is never explicit about it. It's Gemara Masechet Menachot. One opinion is that it's a mahluk between Rashi and Tosafot, that you put it horizontally. The other opinion is you put it vertically. We've never seen horizontally, right? The other opinion is you do it vertically. As a matter of fact, the argument for saying that you do it horizontally, if I remember correctly, no such thing. We don't see such thing because Ashkenazim made a settlement in the middle, right? The argument for doing it horizontally, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Tosafot. Tosafot is in the following context. They say, look at an Aron Kodesh, look at how you put Sifrei Torah in. They used to lie, even Ashkenazim used to lie their Sifrei Torah down. You don't find that those types of things. Lay them down. So if you're putting the Sefer Torah like that, maybe the mezuzah should be so as well. But anyway, bottom line is, the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserle, and in turn, for some reason, the Halabiyah, have this funny thing. Nobody says slanted. One opinion says vertical, the other opinion says horizontal.
Slanted because you're going into the room. It points into the room to protect the room you're entering.
How beautiful derasha. I don't know where you came from. It's very nice. I'll tell you the other derasha I once heard. I once heard a different derasha. I can't tell you which one it is, but you found the combination. That's why I mentioned this. It's strange. You never find such a thing. I once heard this from Rabbi Yisachar Fran. It's a beautiful dirasha. I can't tell you that it's true, but it's a beautiful dirasha. It's something to say at every Hanukkah Tabayit. He said, you're right. In halakha, we generally don't make a compromise. In halakha, it's either or. I know Rav is giving us a compromise over here as well, but it's either or, generally speaking. When you're entering into a home, you understand it works differently. A home, you start off with a compromise. It's about peace, means we meet in the middle. I get shalom bayit, ole al kulam. It's beautiful. That's it. There you go. It's a beautiful derasha. I am admitting to the... That's right. It only works if it's slanted on your door.
Before I touch the mezuzah, I'm going to say something.
But I will tell you, you're right. It is not, Jesse. It's not a common thing that you find this type of in-between. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, Maita Amad de Rav. And I'll tell you furthermore as well, Jesse, Rav has this authority. As I told you, Rav Tanau Palig, he will disagree with Mishnayot. Of course, the question arises, the Aharonim asked this question. If Rav could disagree with Mishnayot, and you find it not too rare, but it's not, you know, that common. But the halakha is Rav v'Rabbi Yochanan halakha ke Rabbi Yochanan. Well, if the halakha is like Rabbi Yochanan and machloka with Rav, then maybe Rabbi Yochanan could also disagree with Mishnayot. Ironically, he can. So the system is a little bit more complicated than we imagine. Anyways,
goes
like Rabbi Yochanan. So then how come he can't disagree with the Mishnayot?
Because it's a different understanding of the Mishnah.
Of course. You have to tweak it. I'm just saying it's not so simple. Okay, says the Gemara, my ta'ama de Rav. What's the rationale? What would Rav be arguing? He told us third to first, not third to second. De'amar kera lo yumtu avot al banim u banim. Right, the Pasuk talks about lo yumtu avot u banim, and then it doesn't say banim lo yumtu al avot. It says u banim. That extra vav, sometimes with Doresh, is miyutar. It's extra. It's coming to add in something else. What's it coming to add? One generation. What's the one generation? On one side, third generation. That's what he suggests. Lerabot Doracher. Okay, it's a derasha, as I've told you many times. I remember the first time, this is years ago, Mir Yeshiva, I had a problem with the derasha. Something like, it was a little bit more intricate, so I went to the Shoilu Meshiv, it was in afternoon Seder. I said to him, I don't understand this derasha. He says, that's the first derasha, you don't understand? I thought I had a nice question. So he pulled out Tosafot in Masechet Sukkah, says, we don't understand any derasha in Talmud. So I said, there you go. I said, well, what am I spending my time doing? He said, you're understanding everything surrounding it. Derasha, the intricacies. We don't fully understand why a vav over here, lerabot, as opposed to elsewhere. But anyway, that's what...
Between the son's bloodline and the daughter's bloodline, in this case,
which the
from all these things, like the daughter's child, grandchildren, like that?
No. The Gemara will, at the very top of Amud Bet, say, Ba'al ki ishto, ishto ki ba'al, ki ba'ala, which means to say that we will equate. The only reason we keep talking about men is they're the only ones who could testify. But 100%, in other words, we've been talking about men who have children who are men and so on and so forth. There has been a little bit of reference, but generally speaking, we haven't been talking about women. Is there a difference in terms of, and the answer is no, right?
What would the line qualify people to testify? I mean, it's talking about 1, 2, 3 so far. We may even hit a 4.
Yeah.
When does it start to qualify? The 5th generation, 6th generation?
What do you want? You're asking about testify. According to the Gemara, according to the Gemara, the furthest you're going is 3rd generation. That's according to the Gemara. It's the furthest you're going. You're asking at a wedding today, but I'm only speaking on behalf of myself. If anybody knows that they're in any way related, I tell them don't be involved. Why do I tell them don't be involved? Firstly, it looks wrong. Secondly, who knows? Whatever. As long as there's any relationship, so I disqualify. You're right. According to the Gemara, according to the Halakha, you don't need to go that far. And if I was hard-pressed and there were only several kosher Eidim, I'd probably, you know, be a little bit more according to the... What's that?
I had to do that at my wedding.
Yeah.
Distant relative to one of the rabbis. You couldn't be... Hey.
How do you like that? As I mentioned, I twice officiated at wedding, or was involved in weddings, where it's a different class, I mentioned this, where the Hatan was a Yedid, and Rabbi Meir Yedid was an Eid. And I turned to him and said, you're not related? We're not related to the best of my knowledge. Can you imagine? The same last name or whatever. And I think they're both Levim as well. Anyway, so it goes. But anyway, you don't have to.
With the Edim, go back 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Who knew what the Hatani was, how kosher, who knew anything in those days?
I'd like to imagine I come from kosher lineage. I don't know about you.
The two witnesses could be related.
What's that? No. No. No, we saw the Dirashah on that already. Can't be.
Does the Gemara hold that the Hatan is another generation removed, or does it hold that it's...
You're asking if Halakha is like Rav in that claim or not? Yeah. Not fully clear. Our Mishnah certainly does not seem to suggest so. It's Rav's reading of it.
No, the Mishnah... says,
the Hatan is included there. Yeah. it's not fully clear. The Maskana, so to speak, of the Gemara. Says Gemara, Bil Azar went even third generation to second generation. He makes a derasha al banim amarahmana. Pesule de'avot shade abanim. He says, I'll take your vav, rav, which you said is being marbe an extra generation, but I'll furthermore notice that the pasuk seems to be equating the children to the fathers. If a third generation is invalidated to a first generation, that's the father, so to a third generation is invalidated to the children, that's the second generation. That's the Gederasha over there in the Gemara. Okay, that brings us to the end of first or second segment of relationships. We got quite a bit more to go. Should we begin? Let's just read one line and we'll continue with it tomorrow. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's statement now. So we have Rav's statement, now we have Rav Nachman's statement. Ahi Hamoti, my mother-in-law's brother, my wife's uncle, lo ya'id li, cannot testify to me, about me, that's the statement. Ben Ahi Hamoti, my wife's cousin, my mother-in-law's son, lo ya'id li, cannot testify about me. Ben Ahot Hamoti, the son of my mother-in-law's sister, meaning my wife's cousin from her aunt, lo ya'id li. That's the statement. Says the Gemara, can you back that up from our Mishnah? V'tana tuna. Tuna means our. Our Mishnah can support that. How so? Ba'al ahoto, uba'al ahot aviv, uba'al ahot immo. The Mishnah lists the following. The husband of your sister, the husband of your Uba'al Ahot Aviv, of your father's sister, Uba'al Ahot Imo, and the husband of your aunt from your mother, hen, they, meaning those men, Ubnehen, Vehatanehem, and their son-in-laws are all invalidated. Well, let's work this out very briefly. It's your aunt's son-in-law. Yes, your aunt's son-in-law, which means that you are his mother-in-law's sister or brother's child. Yes? In such a circumstance, you're invalidated, says our Mishnah. Says Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman. You're just restating the Mishnah. You're making it a little bit clearer for us. You follow? One last line here. Amar Rav Ashi, ki avina be'ula, when we were in the Beit Midrash of Ula, iba'elan, we had the following question. Ahi Hamiv, the brother of my father-in-law, mahu. Ben Ahi Hamiv, the son of my father-in-law's brother, in other words, my son, my wife's cousin, mahu. Ben Ahot Hamiv, mahu. It's all the parallel cases, just from the male side instead of the female side. And as well, Amar Lan, he said it's explicit in our Mishnah, Tinituhu. How's it explicit in our Mishnah? Ahiv. V'achi aviv, v'achi imo, hen ubnehen v'hatanehen. Even the son-in-laws of that other side are invalidated as well. Again, the son-in-law of my wife's husband, the son-in-law of the other side will work out that that son-in-law's father-in-law, right, his sister or his brother we're talking about over here, who's my father, I'm the child, is invalidated even to him. It means we're going to invalidate even in that direction as well. Baruch Adonai de'alam. Amen v'amen.